In today's gospel lesson, we have a bonus, as we have two miracle stories, which in John are called signs, and not just one. How fortunate is that? We have also jumped from the Gospel of Mark to the Gospel of John. Some of you are aware that our Sunday lectionary readings are divided into a three-year cycle. Year A uses the Gospel of Matthew. Year B uses the Gospel of Mark. Year C uses the Gospel of Luke, with readings from the Gospel of John interspersed throughout each of the years. We are presently in year B, so most of our readings will be taken from the Gospel of Mark. But today we have entered for a few weeks into the Gospel of John. It's important to pause and recognize that the Gospel of John was written at a much later period than the Gospel of Mark. This means that each gospel writer were addressing a totally different audience, possibly with John being written more than 40 years after Mark. Although they were using much of the same material, how they chose to create their gospels was significantly different. John, for instance, is devoted to revealing who Jesus really is, so that people can come to believe in him. While Mark is giving us a historical account of the life of Jesus, John is, in addition, taking us behind the scene and revealing to us a glimpse into the eternal origin and his divine nature. In today's lesson, the first sign or miracle, the feeding of the 5,000, is the only miracle that appears in each of the four Gospels. Commentators tell us that this miracle has long been connected with the following miracle of Jesus coming to his disciples on the sea and calming the storm. It was one narrative from the very beginning, and John chooses to treat it as such in his gospel. Remember, he is intent on revealing who Jesus really is to the people. In the feeding of the 5,000, John makes no mention of Jesus' compassion for the hungry crowds that is so prominent in the other Gospels. Instead, he tests Philip with a question of where are they to buy enough bread to feed this approaching crowd. This is immediately followed by a statement saying he, that's Jesus, in fact knew exactly what he was going to do. Andrew, Peter's brother, comes forward with five small barley loaves and two tiny fish the size of sardines, the lunch of a poor boy in the crowd. He brings this pitiful offering to Jesus. Jesus takes the loaves and the fish and gives thanks over them before distributing them. This gives us a hint that maybe this is not just about satisfying physical hunger. With this Eucharistic language beginning to appear, we are being prepared for Jesus to soon reveal that he is more than the one who gives bread to feed the hungry. He is actually the bread of life. But this revelation is still yet to come. After their hunger has been satisfied, the crowd is ready to proclaim Jesus a prophet, perhaps like Moses, who fed the people in the wilderness. and who was to come to usher in the new Messiah. To this point, the crowd has judged correctly. But when they want to seize him and make him king, no doubt so he could overturn Roman rule and make the Jews the new rulers, Jesus is having nothing of it. He slips through their fingers and withdraws by himself into the mountain. As our passage of scripture moves along, we are immediately in the midst of a second miracle. Perhaps this will help John's audience and us gathered here today understand who Jesus really is. I was fortunate to travel to the Holy Land a couple of years ago and stand on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and then later in the day, go out in one of the boats as the sun set. The water was as calm as a mill pond, for which I was very thankful, as I am not a good sailor. It was hard to imagine the sea turning into turbulent waves that could easily swamp a fishing boat. Our guide assured us that this still happens today when a storm sweeps across. The wind descends in a fury as it is funneled down between the surrounding hills, whipping up huge waves and endangering anyone still out on the water. Part of me wished I could have witnessed such a storm, but I must confess, not at the expense of relinquishing the glorious weather we were enjoying. As evening approaches, the disciples set out to board their boat to head across the sea back to Capernaum, which was only a 4-mile journey. Perhaps they expected to meet Jesus on the shore, but when he was nowhere in sight, they probably thought he would walk around the top of the sea, an easy walk for someone who walked everywhere he went. Soon, a storm moved in. The wind rose, whipping up the waves into a sea of foam. The disciples were straining at the oars, trying to make land, all the time probably wondering where Jesus was when they really needed him. Then the next time they looked up, there, out of nowhere, was Jesus walking on the sea right near their boat. They were terrified until Jesus called to them, saying, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then immediately the boat pulled up onto the shore, and they were safe. Now, commentators tell us that the Greek word Jesus used to identify himself, I, as in, "It is I," is the same word that God used for God's own name when he is asked what his name is, and he says, "I am." We remember God called Moses out of the burning bush in the 3rd chapter of Exodus, and saying God's name is, that is used there, is "I am." Jesus is telling his disciples here that it is indeed the Divine One has broken into their world in the form of Jesus. This is definitely a step far away from seeing Jesus as simply a prophet. Jesus continues to break into our world today. This is the person we can rely on when we find ourselves in the midst of the storms of life. when we are up against events in our lives that we feel are about to overwhelm us, we are reminded that Jesus is not far off, but right here beside us. Perhaps you are facing a storm in your life, the loss of a loved one, or the loss of a health, perhaps due to COVID, or the loss of a job, or your life is upended by an unexpected divorce, or maybe you are facing failure for the very first time. When these difficult times descend upon us, it often feels as though Jesus is absent. We think, if only Jesus really cared about us, why would he not come down to our aid and fix everything? Sometimes Jesus is close at hand when we fail to recognize Jesus' presence. This can happen if we view our faith as a protective shield against all the storms of life. Part of me would love to be able to say that because we are Christians, every storm we face will have a happy ending. But we know that this is not true. If it were, faith in Jesus would not be faith at all. It would simply be a business transaction motivated by self-interest. The saints of the ages have never seen faith as a way to win special treatment. Very often they chose their way of life in spite of the consequences. And for their choices, they often paid a bitter price. And yet in the midst of this, they did not doubt that Jesus was with them. I don't know if any of you have read Sue Monk Kidd's book, When the Heart Waits. The author writes of her friend Betty's struggle with cancer. There were days when Betty was close to being overwhelmed. But one day, she was different. Sue asked her what had happened, and Betty told her, "I looked death in the eyes and said, I want to live. But if I die, I die, and it will all be well." She went on to say, "I can't explain it, but in that moment, something in my innermost being shifted. I knew that my experience with cancer was going to be the most transforming experience of my life. Whatever happens, I am going to be okay." The author calls this Betty's epiphany experience buried in her crisis. Jesus had come to her walking on the water in the storm of her life, and she heard him say in the depths of her being, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then the storm that surrounded her ceased, and she found peace. If I were to ask what is the miracle portrayed in this second miracle story in the gospel today, probably many would say it was Jesus walking on the water and perhaps calming the storm. But the true miracle is not simply the suspension of the laws of nature. Rather, it is the opening of the human heart to behold the presence and power of God. This is the miracle that each one of us celebrates each time we are able to let go of our fear in the midst of the storms of life. And how do we do this? By refocusing our eyes upon Jesus. Jesus is always waiting to give each one of us the strength and the courage, the wisdom and the hope that will enable us to meet the storms of life when they threaten to overwhelm us. Amen.